That's exciting to look back and see, isn't it? It's amazing to see what God has done. We try to shorten that as much as you can, but it's hard to do. Thank you, Chris and Melanie, for putting that together for us to go back and have a chance to look. We'll put that on Facebook and on the website so you can share that with your friends and see all what God has done in this last year. We love to stop and pause on this last Sunday, or actually the first Sunday, typically this time it's the second, to just have what we call the State of the Church message, to go back and look back about what God did in our midst, because sometimes we forget. We get into the routine of life and we go to the next thing and the next opportunity and the next event, the next thing on our calendar, and sometimes we don't stop long enough to go back and look and see what God has done. There is no doubt the Lord has been incredibly faithful to Petal First Baptist Church in the year 2016. God has allowed us to continue to be more and more of a lighthouse, more and more engaging into our community. And I don't know about you, but I feel blessed to be a part of this wonderful church. I feel blessed and humbled to be your pastor, and I feel blessed that I get to be a part of what God is doing in your life and also in mine. We want to talk about some things this morning that are important, that not only look back to last year, but also to this year. So you got your outline there. It's a little bit thicker than what we normally give to you. It's 4 pages. Some of you are going, good night, I'll never get through all this. Don't worry, I will. At least by 12:30. We'll be done with it, I can promise you. Some of you are going to let you read. Some of you are going to kind of roll through quickly and let you go back and think about it later. But I want us to talk about one thing we've done over this last year is go back and look at our mission and kind of be a little bit more concise about it, to be more focused about it. And I believe the relaunch of Vision 2020, that's going to have some more things to it, some more meat to it, some more a definition to it to help us really be the body of Christ that He wants us to be, and so that His Spirit can blow through us in some extraordinary ways, and have some ways for us to look and say, how are we doing, where are we going, and how are we going to get there in the most effective and the most efficient manner possible to impact the most people. So back in June and July, our vision team worked through this over the last first part of the year into the summer, and we felt comfortable to tell you this is what we believe that God has called our mission to be. Now, obviously, every church's mission could be talked about as the Great Commission, there's no question. But to put it in words that is unique for us. And we came on this word a while back that really helped us continue our mission. But here it is. And hopefully you've already learned this mission by now. And it's there on your outline there. And here it is to continue our mission. I'm going to run to our scriptures here in a second. But the first thing on your outline is to continue our mission. And here it is, engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. Would you say that with me together? Engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. Good, about 75 of you did that. The rest of you, your mouths are doing like I do with my children. Okay, let's try it together. We're going to just collectively together because some of you, I think you fell asleep in the video. So let's try it again with a little more excitement like this really means something to you. Let's say it together. Engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. That's powerful, right? Matter of fact, it's so powerful. I'm going to spend the next 3 Sundays unpacking what that means for Petal First Baptist in the year 2017 and beyond. How do we engage people? What are we engaging people with? The hope of the gospel. And what is the end result of all that? To see lives transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 really echoes this thought. Here's what it says. I think it's maybe the New American Standard, but I'm going to read it to you from the Holman Christian Standard. Here's what it says. We all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We believe our mission is very, very clear to engage people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. And so we just want to step back and look and talk about some of that life transformation. Some of that comes through numbers, right? You can't help it. If you don't measure, you don't know what transformation looks like. So what have we seen God do over this last year? And we're going to celebrate all these things at the end of some amazing things when you go back and look at them over the year. In the year from 2015 to 16, we'll try to compare some of those. In 2015, the Lord added 60 new members. In calendar year 2016, God added 96. We went from 21 baptisms in 2015 to 35 baptisms in 2016. In 2016, we added our 400th member that has been added in the last 5 years. In life groups, we've seen our attendance grow from 221 to 238 with 7% growth over the year prior. In worship, we've seen our numbers increase 8% from 296 last year in the worship center into 319. Total in the building, including our preschool, 322 last year, 349, almost breaking that 350 mark. Again, a 7% increase, 8% in our worship service. We've seen a total worship average increase back from 5 years ago, from 130 to now 349. We've seen our attendance in just 6 years, or 5 years rather, triple almost by next year. If we grow that same much, we will have tripled our attendance in 6 years. Simply amazing. To put it into perspective how we track some of that, last year we had 4 months in the worship center, we averaged over 300. This last year, we averaged 8 months, we averaged over 300. And in the building overall, last year, 9 months, I think we averaged over 300 in the building. This year, every single month, with our highest month, 396, almost averaging 400 in the building. Incredible. On Easter Sunday, we saw 534 people here, with the largest attendance ever in the history of our church here in this building. Trunk or Treat, you saw those pictures, 1,500 to 2,000. We lost count of how many people were here. Family-friendly Wednesday nights have grown 4% from the year prior. Our total offerings, this is a huge celebration, folks. Last year you gave $622,000. This year, $682,000, a 9%, almost 10% increase. December is the largest offering in the history of our church. Now, here's what's amazing about that. Which is about including Outlive Your Life was about $96,000 you gave in December alone. Now, here's the kicker about that. Not only did you give all that, you gave Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you gave towards the playground for Tony Marino and other designated offerings, gave $147,000 in giving, which enables us to start January with one of our highest totals in our checking account balance in recent history. Simply amazing. We launched Outlive Your Life, you remember, back in 2013 to complete space. Back in February, we took that loan amount below $2 million for the first time in over a decade. A lot of things we want to see happen. We're praying about possibly relaunching and Outlive Your Life somewhere in this year. We're going to be some dirt work you'll see going on in the next couple of months to get our parking ready back here. We're averaging over 145 cars every single Sunday. Some Sundays way more than that. There's 40 to 50 to 60 of you that every Sunday park in the grass, which is great when it's dry. Amen. When it's wet, you are really, really dangerous ground out there in some of the areas out there. So we're hoping to begin the dirt work so we can begin the paving back here to get our folks off the grass and onto some paved parking spots. We've seen a record number of new givers this year. We've taken the next step up the generosity ladder. As far as mission giving go, 2015 Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions, you gave $10,015. 2016, you gave $13,463. Margaret Lackey, our state missions offering, last year $3,858. This year, $4,544. Lottie Moon, we didn't get as large as last year, but last year we had some really huge one-time gifts that kind of locked us to $29,000. This year, you gave $25,179 roughly. And in the last 5 years, get this now, our church has given $106,000 just in Lottie Moon given to international missions. That is nothing but sort of extraordinary. Rejoice in that. We can rejoice in that. Absolutely. It's amazing. That's amazing. We look back from where we were years prior to that, folks. We have, I don't know what the increase is in the 5 years prior to that. Gary could probably go back and look in his notes, but it's pretty extraordinary. You gave almost 300 boxes to Operation Christmas Child. We did the Thanksgiving items. Our woven ministry kicked off in some extraordinary ways, and more foster parents than ever in our church's history. Launched our Vision 2020 plan, which we're continuing to talk about that, and we'll relaunch that again next Sunday with our leadership meeting next week, next Sunday. Our second 311 day, the first time it was 311 night, and this time it was a day, we saw a massive increase. We saw here in the building that day, 55 families. By the time it was all said and done, we touched 85 families with backpacks, with shoes, with uniforms. As we continue that throughout the year, we've touched more families since that point. You've moved into the district, or we've realized there was a need there, a teacher saw there was a need there. So in not only the primary school, but in other schools, we have touched over 200 students with either food, backpack, shoes, or clothes in our district. In Petal Primary alone, it's almost 170 plus. We just delivered Friday 102 backpacks of food. We've done as high as 112 during the school year. I calculated just a rough calculation over 37 weeks of school. If you do the math, we've given out, including the summer, over 4,000 food backpacks over this last year. And it's extraordinary of what that does, because what happens is I'm walking through Walmart or Dollar General, or I'm walking through town somewhere, I'm at a parade, I'm walking down the parade, and I hear this out of the corner of my, "Mama, Mama, that's the guy with the baby who comes through with the buggy giving us our food." Or at Walmart, I hear somebody whisper, "That's the assistant principal at the primary school." No. You're making a difference. They know who you are. They may not know you're a member of Petal First Baptist Church, but many of them came through our trunk or treat because they know that you care. Folks, sometimes, many times, people don't want to know what you know until they know how much you care. And you're doing that and have done over this last year. We have over 30 people who are currently big brothers and big sisters walking through that Petal Primary School, loving on kids, helping our teachers. We just fed them this last week, prayer walk. Folks, that, I can't tell you, I walk on that campus on Friday morning after you prayed on Wednesday night, and I can't tell you the number of comments from teachers. You will never know what that means, they'll say. Notes all over those doors. It's extraordinary. We launched our second year of Kids Backyard, Backyard Kids Club in the blistering heat, the hottest summer it seems like ever, in Forest Garden Trailer Park. And here's the cool thing about it. The last year we saw we were able to help Bethel Church of God grab some of those families behind dirt sheet. We moved back over here. We figured that's where God wanted us to be as we prayed about that. Here's the cool thing. We have some of those families sitting in this building as a part of our church family now. That is nothing short of extraordinary. We're praying even now about what this summer will look like and how you can be involved in that. Praying about possibility of a second Backyard Kids Club, doing two at one time. Hello, that seems crazy. Folks, we're easily big enough to handle that now. We just got to have more people step up and say, "You can count me in." Our international mission trips, two to Haiti, two to Indonesia, with our brand new partnership with St. Rose Community Church there between Destrehan and Kenner, Louisiana, becoming a sending church. And in that process, found out, hey, they have a heart for Indonesia. So at the end of February, our team and their team is going to go together to introduce them to the Sanggau Sakadau people group. What an extraordinary God we serve to weave that together. Largest kid extreme ever, 500. We were trying to figure the number. We didn't look this morning. I know it's over 550. We think it's 570, including adults, this last year. Our largest group ever to Infuge, 70, 59, or 55 to Kids Camp. Extraordinary lives being touched. This year, for the first time ever that I can remember, that we know of, over 70 students gathered here on a Wednesday night. Huge. If you come in here on Wednesday night, here's what I describe it to people that have never been before. Absolute chaos. That's what Wednesday nights are. You walk in this building and there are bodies everywhere. Sometimes flying, sometimes objects flying. There are people everywhere. What a celebration. Hosted our fourth annual ministry missions fair. We continued our partnership with Mount Vernon Baptist Church, with them inviting us to their ribbon cutting service, and then our opportunity to worship with them in July on a strategic Sunday when there was the shootings in Baton Rouge, and we got to be a part of that. And also this whole partnership, Brother Carl was named Petal Person of the Year. I was named the Junior Petal Person of the Year because Brother Carl deserves it much more than I do. How cool is that? Bringing recognition to the gospel, about the gospel does not divide. Instead, it brings us together, red, yellow, black, and white, precious in His sight, right? We saw that happen. We've been part, you don't know it, but we've been a part of helping launch a community collaborative initiative between all the churches in our city, our school district, our community organizations, to try to figure out how can we touch and reach people who need help financially, who need help with food, who are living in crisis. How can we help these families get on a pathway to get out of where they are to get to where they want to be? Folks, your church family has been a part of some incredible, exciting things. But here's the amazing thing out of all that. There are greater things yet to come. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I want you to know I believe that. I believe God wants to do even more. Though God has done some amazing, incredible, awesome, fantastic, jaw-dropping. And just to get this in perspective, folks, when I talk to the Mississippi Baptist Convention folks, and I'm able to show what God has done, you talk about the growth that happens here. Folks, this doesn't happen in every church. It just doesn't. You're part of something exciting. You're part of a breathing of the Spirit of God into people and the lives of others. So don't take it for granted. There are a lot of churches that would wish to have 35 people to be baptized. There are a lot of churches that would love to see 8%, 10% growth in areas, and we're a part of that. So let me say thank you. Thank you for being a part of that, of attending, of being committed to be a part of the body of Christ, of giving faithfully. Because of that, we were able to do all these things and so much more. So we celebrate all that God has done. The second thing we want to do is to center on one word this year. Center on one word. Now, this one word we found last year, and really probably 2 years ago, our Vision 2020 came this word. But as we came back and re-looked at Vision 2020 over this last year with our vision team, we became more convinced than ever as we worked our way through this very, very lengthy process to bring our mission really down to one word. And here was the one word. It is the word transformation. Because we were really challenged and convicted that it's easy to measure the four B's, and I've talked about them, our building, our budgets, our baptisms, and the bodies in the building. It's easy to track those things. But what's a little bit harder sometimes is what we became very convinced and convicted of as the thing we have to measure far greater than that, though we still measure those because those are important numbers. Because they represent people and lives that have been changed. But really tracking this, how are people's lives being transformed? How are they different? How are they moving more to become like Jesus Christ? And then as a result, having an impact on their family, in their jobs, in their neighborhoods, in their schools. And seeing the transformation happen here, even in our community. We want to see people's lives being transformed. And when we equal that word transformation, we kind of come to this word, a word we all know very well, but a word we sometimes miss. And here's what we put on the outline. Mature disciples who make disciples. Mature disciples who then in turn make disciples. If you'll turn in very quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. I want to read some scripture here in just a moment. But I want us to go to the third point while you're turning there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, is this one word, transformation. So there's a word you're going to hear, and you've heard it a lot last year. You'll hear it even more this year. It is the word transformation. Are we seeing transformation in your life and in mine? And are we seeing our community? Are we seeing our neighborhoods? Are we seeing the places we're engaging? Are we seeing transformation occurring? Well, we have to ask this question, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? And we mentioned just a moment ago about this verse of we're reflecting the glory of God as we're being transformed. And yet we find here in 2 Timothy some great words. Listen to what it says here in verse number 1. If we can jump back there, Michael. Great. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Suffer hardship with me also as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. For no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. A disciple. What is a disciple? We need to comprehend and understand what a disciple is. We hear the word disciple, we often think of what? We think of Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, right? We think about all these disciples, and then we think, well, that's who they were. But the Bible says we're called to go and make disciples. We are to be a disciple. So what is a disciple? Well, there's all kinds of things you can put here, but here's just some thoughts to think through this morning. Number one, a disciple is one who's being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. Paul says it in several places, it's becoming mature or perfect or complete in Christ. It is one, and we did a study 3 or 4 years ago, one of my favorites of all time, that we really get because we live in a football culture and a fan culture. It's this, it's a person who is not a fan of Jesus Christ, one who's willing to cheer about Jesus and talk about Jesus, but instead one who is a follower of Jesus, a dedicated, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, one who is deeply connected in the relationship with Christ and the church, one who is growing daily in their walk with the Lord, hungry and desiring to grow by abiding in Christ, one who is deeply committed to serving Christ by serving the body with their time and resources, one who understands the call to go and be on mission with Christ, to share His love with everyone, everywhere. And then one who is discipling others to do the same. I hope these are things that maybe roll back in your mind. If you've been here long enough, you'll think about your mind. Maybe you just heard some words here that would remind you of our strategy or of our map. Connect, grow, commit, and go. We believe that is our picture of discipleship. We call it our transformation journey. So really then here's the question. Are you a disciple? Well, this is a challenging word right out of the gate in 2017, but let's really say, Holy Spirit, would you evaluate my heart and my life? I can say it, but the question is, am I really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Some measures, some questions to ask yourself. Those are the things we just defined, you can ask them another way. We're calling them the A through F, the A, B, C, D, E, F. Here they are. Are you living authentically? Are you living a real life? Do people know you? Are you living biblically? Do you live your life according to the standard of God's Word? Do you know God's Word? Do you read God's Word? Do you embrace God's Word? Is it your God? Is it your map? Are you living authentically? Are you living biblically? Thirdly, are you living connectedly? Are you connected deeply to the body of Christ? Are you deeply connected to other believers? Or are you one who simply comes in and jumps out? You run in, you run out, nobody knows you, you're not deeply connected. And here's the call of 2017 for many of you. It is to get deeply connected. That can be scary, that can be intimidating, that can seem hard, that can seem difficult. But it is so necessary. If you're going to be the disciple that Christ is calling you to be, you must be connected. Living authentically, biblically, connectedly. Fourthly, living desperately. Are you desperate for Jesus? Am I desperate for the Holy Spirit of God to breathe in my life? Am I desperate to see Him move in my life? And not just desperate in the difficult moments, but desperate every single day. Are you desperate? Are you living evangelistically? Are you living your life to tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ, to tell someone in 2017 what Jesus has done for you and what He means in your life? And lastly, are you living faithfully? Are you living faithfully in all areas, serving, giving, all those things He would call us to do? So are you a disciple? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now we would say if I've asked Christ in my heart, then I've become a disciple. And that is a true statement. The question then would be, take it even further. What kind of a disciple are you? Are we like the disciples? We turn and run when things get difficult, when things seem to be a little bit more committed than we really want them to be. Or are we, after the disciples really, really understood the gospel and the Spirit of God empowered them, all of a sudden they were a different kind of disciple, weren't they? I pray that we in 2017 become the disciples of Acts and not just the disciples of the Gospels. So consider your call to become a disciple maker in 2017. What do I mean by that? Well, this is a really, not a new statement or concept, but something the Lord is really working on me in my life. And I've known it all along. And I do it from time to time, but I've not done it real strategically and maybe as intentional as I'd like to. But I made a fresh commitment to the rest of my days to be a disciple maker. You see, every person in this building that knows Christ as Savior and Lord, you're a disciple. Now we're talking about what kind of disciple are you. We're praying you'll grow into a deeper disciple, but here's the second question. Are you discipling others? Are you being a disciple maker? Because here's the kicker, here's the challenge. In 2017, is that every person should be helping disciple somebody else, whether outside the church walls or inside the church walls. And really, here's the thing about it. It's like the Great Commission. It's really not an option. He says, go and make disciples. So here is the convicting question that came to me last year. Somebody joined our church and said, hey, tell me about your discipleship process. Oh, boy. Old preacher kind of said, well, would you like the preacher answer? We have a fantastic idea. We're working this angle. Or would you like the honest answer? We don't really have it definitively in place. but I said, we're going to. We've been working with that in our Vision 2020 process, and along came this brand new curriculum called The Journey. If you're in a life group this morning, every one of you got one of these. If you're not in a life group, I'm going to challenge you for the 8 we have left that y'all will run and run over each other to grab one of these. We're going to do something so radically different. The idea of this, it seems overwhelming to me. The idea of this seems that will you stay committed to this, or will you fade out in month 6 or month 4 or month 2? By the way, if you drive by a 180, good luck trying to find a treadmill on the morning times. Man, it's jammed. I mean, it is jammed. Hey, good news though. Give it to middle of February and it'll be half that much, right? You know it's true. It happens. We're asking you to do something really, really challenging. And somebody in our meeting asked the other night, they said, well, listen, just asking out loud and wondering, are we going to set the bar too high? It's a great question. And many times, because we want as many people to come be a part of it, we lower the bar. But we're going to do something different in 2017. We don't want you to be able just to step over the bar. We want to raise the bar high enough that you've got to have somebody help you get over the bar. So we're going to ask you, every single person in this room, to be connected to a life group. I don't care if you're 85 or if you're 5. It doesn't matter. We want you to be connected to a life group. And 6th grade all the way through, adults are going to be going through this series for an entire year. An entire year. Now, our life group leaders are pumped because they don't have to find curriculum every 6 weeks. That's nice. We make it simple for you. You don't have to buy 15 million books. So $20 for the whole year, we'll buy these. This is one. You'll get one of these every 13 weeks. They'll take us through 52 weeks of the year to go through this journey to do two things, right? Which is our next statement here, to commit to be a part of a journey. Here it is, to become a disciple. And what this year process will take us through, I want you to hang with me here. Remember, our one word is what? Say it with me. What is our one word? Good, good. Some of you are like, transformation. Let's say it together. Our one word is transformation, right? We want to see transformation in your life and transformation in the lives of others, right? So in order for that to happen, we're going to challenge you to be a disciple. And some of you have never been discipled. So what we've challenged our life group leaders to do, right, is to disciple you. Now, here's what we've challenged our life group leaders with is, okay, the people in your group don't count for your discipling somebody, right? We challenged that with that Wednesday night. We want them to disciple you, right? Some of you are saying, I've been discipled before. We want to take everybody back to the starting spot, to the starting point, which we began with today. It was the gospel. Understanding what the gospel is. Understanding how it impacts our life. And we'll work our way through. But here's what I want you to get, church family, so don't miss this. I want you to get this picture. Here is our goal. It's not that all of you can go and say, wow, I completed the journey. I get my certificate. I get a pin like we used to do 50 years ago of perfect attendance. I'm ready for the next study. No, here's our call. Is that in 6 weeks, our thought, our process is that when somebody comes down this aisle in 3 weeks or in 6 weeks and they don't know Christ, they meet Christ for the first time, that I could go to any one of you in this building and say, would you take Jim or Sally through the first 6 weeks of this material? Would you disciple them? And we're saying, no, disciple somebody. Oh, you have to be like a super duper deep Christian who like knows everything about the Bible. Right? Wrong. The basics. Can you imagine, church family, if we really took this seriously? Would you just stop for a moment? I know that y'all don't think about church every day. I do. I think about it 24/7. I know you can. You have a job. If you thought about church 24/7, you would not have a job. So don't do that. Would you for a moment allow the God of the universe to stretch your holy imagination to what if 20 or 30% took this call seriously and said, I'm going to disciple somebody. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Our congregation, our church family is going to grow deeper. And we can expand our influence farther. And when the people come in this door, they won't go out the back door because we're going to be so connected to somebody. I want to think, oh man, who can I hook this person up with? I'm going to have tons of people who've already been through the first 6 weeks who can say, I can take anybody through this. I can walk them through this and I can share my life with them. My struggles, my good days, my bad days, how I walk with the Lord, how I read scripture, how I pray, how I deal with my kids, how I deal in my marriage, how I deal with difficult situations in my job. Just sharing your life. But this gives you a tool. All this is a tool. There's other curriculums we could use, but this is the one we've chosen to use that is a tool for you to use to help see people's lives transformed. Here's the problem. So many people who are in church, their lives have never been really transformed. They've only simply gotten a little bit. They feel like I got a fire insurance ticket. I've been a member. I've been baptized. But they've never gotten out of the nursery. Here's our call. Here's our goal this year, dear church family. Here it is. Hear my heart. When we come to 2017, at the end of this year, would it not be extraordinary, amazing, to celebrate the number of people who said, I get it. I know I'm a disciple, and I want to be a disciple maker. Folks, the effect in our church family could simply be extraordinary. And I want to challenge you to take it. Not only that, we're going to challenge you. You ready for this? How many of you remember back in the day? Now, some of you have no idea. Remember, it was called a quarterly. And you were asked to study ahead of time your lesson, we called it. How many of you remember those days? How many remember the days of the offering envelope that you checked on the front of the envelope, lesson studied? I do. I was a pastor of one of those churches just 10, 15 years ago. Right? We still checked all those little boxes. We had it out there on the board. How many remember the board? Oh, yeah, the church right by the church covenant, right? Right by there. And on the board, it would say, how many people studied lesson? How many contacts did you make? Now, a little legalistic, I know, but at the end of the day, you know what? That wasn't a half bad thing. You want to know why? Because a lot of us, we quit doing in my church in Alabama a long time ago? We quit ordering curriculum. You know why? Because nobody ever read it. We were throwing money down the trash can. We were just helping recycle, recycle, recycle. I'm going to challenge you, and it's not a lot, really. It gives you a couple of verses of scripture to read every day, beginning on page 27 of your book. It gives you 2 days of what they call personal study. Some questions to interact with, some scriptures to read. So in the first week, you're going to read through the book of Mark. Some sections there. Two little things. It gives you kind of a weekly activity, a spending time with God, connect to God daily in prayer, personal study and application. So when you come back next Sunday, here's the deal. Your teacher does not have teaching material to talk to you for an hour and 15 minutes. So here's what we challenge some of our teachers to do. Now some of you are going to go, holy cow, I'm not coming to life group. Okay, because what you do, we want you to actually open your mouth and talk. Now some of your heart just stopped right then. I know it. I know. Some of you, you're an introvert and you're quiet and you think that's easy for you. You're an extrovert. You can talk on autopilot. I can. That is a true statement. I can talk about any subject at any time for any length, whether I know anything about it or not. I can. Right? Big surprise. There's a word for that, but we won't say that here. All right? So we know that, right? We can do that. I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm asking you to do is this, is engage this. So if you're in the sixth grade, sixth graders, hey, we want you to grow up a little bit and go on the journey with us. Students, we want you to go that, and some of you were honest and said, you know what, like some of the men in our church do, I'll just let my wife take that book and I'll just kind of look at it with her. I'll let her fill out the blanks and I'll let her give me a Cliff Notes version. Can I give you men a word from God? Back! I'll give you a Steve Harvey, Family Feud, X, right? Lead your home. Do this, and I promise you, your life's going to be transformed. Your family could be transformed. Your church could be transformed. You're saying, well, Brad, hadn't God done enough? I mean, God's a lot of great stuff. Yes, but there's so much more that God wants to do in and through you. This journey is 4 things quickly. We don't have time to look here. It's progressive. It's designed to move us forward. It's discipline. It's going to give you disciplines about how to grow with Christ. It's relational. What we know about discipleship is this. You have to be in relationship with people. You got to be willing to be honest and transparent and open. That doesn't mean you go with a group of 40 people and you air your dirty laundry, but it means with a one-on-one, one-on-three situation where you can share your heart and your life. And last, it's replicable. We want this process to repeat itself. We want to see this happen over and over and over and over again. So you disciple somebody, you walk them through the process over a year's time, and then when they're at a point where they're mature and growing, here's what you challenge them to do. All right, I'm gonna kind of set you free a little bit. We won't meet, but maybe once a month or once a quarter. But I want to challenge you to go grab somebody else. I'm going to go grab somebody else. Too many times, we put this off and say, that's somebody else's job. That's somebody who's been a Christian longer than I've been. That's not my thing. That's not my calling. I don't have the spiritual gift of discipleship. Listen to me carefully. Spiritual gift of discipleship is not a spiritual gift. Discipleship is not a spiritual gift. You know why? Because God called all of us to do it. So you know what He's equipped every one of us to do? Get this now. To be a disciple who makes disciples. That's God's call. Woo! These are some challenging words, aren't they? Good night. You're like, good preacher, can you go a little back to the Psalms? That's a little easier this week. Hey, God wants us to go further. And there are thousands of people in this community, thousands of them, who need to know. Will you pay a price this year to go on a journey? And it's not a big one. Good night. It's a really small one. Do you realize that somebody's eternity could matter about your decision you make today? Students, do you realize there's somebody sitting in your third period that you could use this material to walk them through and disciple them and teach them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You don't have to come up with it. You don't have to have a Bible club to do it. Just take this book and teach them what you're being taught. Here's our challenge, the map. You jump there, if you will. It's our transformation journey map. Couldn't get it on that white screen, huh? It wouldn't work out. Oh, there it is right there. Fantastic. You can see it right there. You've seen this before, the transformation journey. Connect, grow, commit, go. It's our map. It's our strategy, right? That you're walking through this strategy. So this is the process of becoming a disciple. This is what it looks like. That you're connected to Christ and the church. And you're connecting yourself and others. So men, as leaders of your home, it's your responsibility in your home to make sure your family is connected to the body and to Christ. It's my job. Then my job is also to make sure they grow in a deep relationship with Christ. Are you growing? Are you committing your time and resources to serve Christ and others? And are you going and sharing the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere? That's our call. And there's what that transformation journey looks like. There's some steps you can take under each of those, and I encourage you, I challenge you to look at those and say, what is it? One thing I can do to see transformation happen in my life. It might be under the connect piece, getting connected to a life group. I want to challenge you like crazy, like never before. If I could stand on my head or play the drums or run out of the baptistry and do a cannonball, I don't know what I could do to help you understand that you need to be connected to a life group. And you think, well, I really don't need it. Well, guess what? Somebody might need you in that life group to help disciple them, or vice versa. You say, I don't know where to go or where they are. Come find me after we get through. Come find Chris Robbins. We will help you. Josh Smith, our guy's going to help us with discipleship evangelism. I can't even think of the word. I don't know. Assimilation. Thank you, Chris. He's helping us. He can help you. He's helping our life groups. We'll get you connected. Don't make an excuse any longer. You say, well, I really don't like any of the ones that are there. Well, we'll help you start another one. We're committed to that. Transformation. What would it look like? I think it would be something simply extraordinary. We'd step back and say, look what God did. Are you a disciple? Are you being transformed? And you say, well, I don't know if I am or not. And it's not a message to beat you up. It's just a message to say, let's evaluate where I am. Let's be honest. And say, this is where I am, but this is where I believe God wants me to be. Some of you are already there, and you're already that disciple, but you've not been a disciple maker. We want to equip you. We want to enable you. We want to help you become a disciple maker. And then what you do is, you've already been around this circle. You're going to help take somebody else around this circle. And then you take somebody else around the circle. And you can see the multiplication process that happens very quickly, just like that. engaging people with the hope of the gospel, see lives transformed. We have seen lives transformed over this last year. You have touched the lives of people in Petal. You've touched people's lives in St. Rose Community Church. You've touched lives in the Pine Belt, Mississippi. You have touched lives to the ends of the earth. The question is, what will you do in 2017? Will you be a person of transformation? I pray that you will. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the opportunity to stop and to give a great word of challenge, a great word of opportunity, a great word of commitment, a great word of opportunity that would lie before us to do something some of us have never done before. To really stop and pray, God, am I really a disciple? Am I growing? And if not, Lord, I want to grow. There's some, Lord, even before we get to that point, Lord, you need to just even stop and evaluate, Lord, have I even found Christ as my Savior, Lord, to even become a disciple? So some this morning, Lord, need just to know those ABCs, to admit they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, to believe the Son of God in such a way they put their whole life and their trust in you, to confess you as Savior, to commit their life to you as Lord. That's their first step. For others who've already made that step, Lord, they need to be connected to a life group. They need to be committed to being a disciple maker. Lord, that you would speak to them and challenge them and encourage them. For some, they're a disciple, but nobody knows they're a disciple. They never told anybody. They've asked Christ in their heart a week ago, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, but nobody knows. God, give them the courage in 2017 to say, I want the world to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ and I'm going to be a disciple maker. I pray for sixth graders. I pray for middle school and high school students. I pray for mom and dads. I pray for grandparents to hear the call to be transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we would be satisfied with nothing less. God, help us as we raise the bar. God, you put the bar so high and too often we lower it. So God, we want to put it back to your standard, which is a challenge, I know. Not everybody will get it, and that's fine. But what I pray, there will be some who would get it. Who would get it? God, I pray in this moment of invitation, you would speak to our hearts. For those who need to come publicly, Chris and I, Lord, will be at the front to receive them. Lord, this altar be open to business with the Lord. I pray we'd be committed to this moment. These minutes of transformation are so crucial. I pray in Jesus' name.